Welcome to another edition of the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast, recording as always tonight in the Carl Chevrolet Studios in Ankeny. It stands and fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business at Iowa State. Fitzy, right now at Carl Chevrolet through the end of the month of May, it is Military Appreciation Month. Any active or retired military member, spouses, or same household members can qualify for supplier pricing plus $500 off. You're going to get that deal exclusively at Carl Chevrolet in Ankeny or Carl Chevrolet of Stewart. That is above and beyond even what they're doing at all GM dealerships across the nation. Plus, you can get, they just announced 0% financing for 72 months on 2019 Tahoes and Suburbans. And then all month long, qualified buyers can take advantage of 0.9% financing for 36 months or 3.9% for 72 months special financing on select GM certified vehicles. That is right now at Carl Chevrolet of Ankeny, exit 90 at The Rock, or Carl Chevrolet of Stewart. So this is a great time, especially if you're a military member here this week.
It is.
And you said, get to Carl Chevrolet.
And that's the end of May, right? So that's got a few more days left on that.
Right. Just a few more days. So you are going to want to act now on that if you fit into the qualifications that it takes there for Military Appreciation Month. Also, as always, want to remind you about our Cyclone Fanatic store. We're having a major sale right now with two of our most popular shirts that we've ever had. Fitzy, there's two things that I know all Cyclone fans love. One of them is Big 12 Tournament Championships.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that you can get our Net Collector shirts right now for only $10 on our Team Closet site, teamcloset.com/CycloneFanatic. Another thing that I know all Cyclone fans love is Joel Lanning. Who doesn't love Joel Lanning?
I love Joel Lanning.
Of course you do. And that's why you already own, I assume you already own, an Our Linebacker Throws Better Than Your Quarterback shirt in honor of the great Joel Lanning. You can get that one for $10 as well, 50% off two of our most popular shirts that we've ever done on the Cyclone Fanatic store. Again, that link is teamcloset.com/CycloneFanatic. And then lastly, if you love what we do here on Stands and Fits, you love what we do as far as Fitzy's mailbag or any of our other content on CycloneFanatic.com and on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network, we please ask that you consider donating to our monthly Patreon fund. It's easy, it's secure, and the money you give to Cyclone Fanatic goes right back into making our product better. For example, we're going to put out an app this summer. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it on Football and Random Things. It looks awesome. I've gotten to see the mock-ups a couple times, and I don't think that we're too far off from being able to get that done and being able to get that out to you guys, the consumers, and I think everybody's really going to like it. So you can become a patron by clicking on the link on the right side of the homepage. It just says become a patron right there on the homepage of Cyclone Fanatic, and that will help you support what we do here and help keep us free.
I'm excited about the app. I think Chris shared a link with everyone at one point, and man, I don't know if you remember, but back in the day, Cyclone Fanatic used to have an app.
Yeah.
And it worked pretty well for a while, but I think the new app, if it's going to stick to what it looked like in the preview, it's going to be super, super awesome.
Yeah, I think that it'll be good. Just the ease of access will be nice.
Yeah.
You know, it'll make everything easier for everybody.
Yeah, because everyone's always on their phones nowadays. I'm always on my phone.
Right, and another thing that makes it great is that when something like the Cyclones getting a commitment from Penn State transfer Rasir Bolton,
you get a notification.
Happens, you get a push notification right to your phone, and you're going to know just as soon as we do at Cyclone Fanatic
wow.
that there's been breaking news in the world of Iowa State sports.
That's very soon.
That is very soon. That's immediately.
Yes.
I don't know how much faster you could possibly want it.
You can't. You can't go any faster.
No, you can't. Speaking of Rasir Bolton, huge pickup for Prohm in the – in the Clones.
Yeah, that was kind of the piece that everyone was waiting for as far as the spring recruiting period was going toward for basketball. So obviously it sounds like he's pretty confident they'll get a waiver too to play immediately. We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's one of those things where everybody kind of looks at it from the outside and they're like, whatever, we don't understand it, but hey, if it works and it works, that's all that matters to us.
Yeah.
And that's that's where I look at it.
I equate it to, it's kind of like math homework where if you do it one way and the teacher asks you the other way, you don't really care as long as you get the right answer.
Right. My thing too is I don't know why anybody's like, what grounds does he have to get a waiver? Do we know what anybody has to do to get a waiver anymore?
Dude, people have gotten waivers for far, far less.
I mean, Tate Martell got a waiver literally because he left Ohio State to get away from Justin Fields.
Yep.
And So to me, it's like if that guy can go and get a waiver, I feel like probably anybody can get a waiver at this point.
I feel like the NCAA in general, like over the past couple of years especially, has gotten way more lenient with what they're giving out.
Yeah, it's just weird too because then they won't give them out for the things that the waivers were actually designed for.
Like the slam dunk ones.
Yeah, the ones where they're moving closer to home because a family member's sick or something and they don't grant the waiver and you're like, isn't that why you made the rule?
Yeah, but precisely.
I don't know. Whatever. If he can get the waiver, that definitely, I think, raises the ceiling that the team has exponentially.
Yep. Given another guy with Power 5 conference, you know, playing experience, so it'll be good.
I don't know that they're going to be able to score quite the same way, just because, I mean, yeah, I think you feel good about Tyrese being able to increase his scoring output.
Yep.
Obviously, Prentice is a guy who's been able to score at the college level. Rasir Bolton, obviously, has already done it at the Power 5 level.
Yep.
Jacobson and Condit, I think you feel good about what you can get from them. But you think about all that they lost, it's still a lot for those guys to have to really pick up, you know, and right away kind of.
And my assumption would be that next year we'll see a little bit more of a motion offense approach, because I think last year they had a lot of guys who were really good in isolation.
Uh-huh.
But I think, you know, you see THT and Wigginton and even Mariel Shayok go away, and all those guys are really good in ISO. So
that's one thing I haven't watched enough of Rasir Bolton to really know this for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But if I remember correctly, they play really slow, like a really deliberate style at Penn State, where now I think he'll probably get a little more freedom to do his thing.
So you wonder,
kind of like Mariel Shayok.
Yeah, I was going to say, and the only difference is obviously Shayok sat out a year, and he got like, you know, a year to
– Well, Andy was older. Yeah.
To improve his game, but, you know, it'll be good. Players like playing the up-tempo. We got it at Iowa State, so.
Do you think that they can get back to the tournament now?
If he's granted immediate eligibility, then I would safely say that they are probably a tournament team next year.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I feel like this puts them back into the conversation to be top half of the league.
Yeah, and I don't think that, like, not getting him would have made them a not tournament team. Mm-hmm. Like, I still think they have the capability of making the tournament even without Bolton, but Bolton makes it much more of a sure thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that it's huge. Mm-hmm. As you look, you think about where Iowa State was before the spring recruiting period, and we kind of had a checklist of like what they needed to get, and they got all those things. They kind of took an indirect route there, where there were some names that were tossed around that, you know, they missed on.
They would have been happy to have, but at the same time, they got those guys in a different mold.
Right. At the end of the day, you picked up some pretty good pieces. I mean, I think Caleb Grohl was I think we'll look back at that, and it'll be probably one of the bigger recruiting wins of the Prom era at the end of the day.
And I feel like a lot of people didn't really appreciate that commitment as much as it should have been.
Yeah. I feel like coming off the Sevier Wheeler thing, everybody was really down.
Yeah. I mean, I was pumped, and I would have been happy to get him, really happy, actually. But, you know, I think with what Iowa State ended up with is going to be just fine.
Well, and too, it was like they missed on the Clarence Nadolny, the French kid.
Yeah.
And then you miss on Sevier Wheeler. And it was almost like everybody thought of Caleb Grohl as being
the fallback guy,
being plan C, just because of the pure timing of everything. Mm-hmm. Whereas like he was going to be the last one to announce. And then all of a sudden it's like, damn, well now we're on plan C. But in reality, it probably really wasn't like that. They were probably all kind of like 1A, 1B, 1C.
And again, we've heard that Grohl like grew up being an Iowa State fan just because of the way they played. And, and if a guy really wants to be at Iowa State, then I would take a lower rated guy who wants to be here as opposed to a higher rated guy who doesn't want to be here.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. I mean, I think that's – and then Javen Johnson, I think he's another guy that, you know, he's going to sit out for the year. And then you get 2 years with him. I mean, I like just that there's going to be so much more stability between having Grohl, you know, in theory is a four-year guy. Johnson is a three-year guy.
Yep.
And then Rasir Bolton is a three. If he didn't get a waiver, he'd technically be a four.
Yep.
You know, so I think that where you're not going to be having that same kind of roster turnover just year after year. I mean, I feel like Prohm can have those guys sprinkled in, but these are the kind of guys that he can really have a lot of success with.
Yeah, for sure. So then we also got a commitment on the football side of things too.
Yeah, football side of things. Butler Community College wide receiver Darren Wilson redshirted his first year of junior college at a school in Georgia, and then goes to Butler. Had like 20 catches for 300 something yards and 3 touchdowns last season.
Yep.
He will play 3 seasons of football at Iowa State.
Yeah, and it sounds like the coaches probably told him that he could have a chance to come in and start immediately if he plays well enough.
Or at least he'll get an opportunity to play.
Yeah.
That's one. I mean, it's a guy that he obviously has not played at Iowa State, but to know that he's played the college level, he's a guy who is technically, or he's a redshirt sophomore,
yep,
basically a junior, then I feel like you've got to feel pretty good about that, considering just the – there's kind of a gap, you know, between like DeShante Jones. You get DeShante Jones, then you add the Michael Pettway to that senior class. There's only a couple guys in that junior class. And now you add Darren Wilson alongside Tariq Milton, and then you've got a whole bunch of freshmen.
Yeah.
And you kind of can delay the development of them a little bit where they don't have to get thrown into the fire quite as fast.
Definitely. And overall, Iowa State's receivers are pretty young still, but it's good that they're still adding, you know, right, guys to the mix.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I think that they have like 11 scholarship wide receivers on the roster,
mm-hmm,
and I think six of them are freshmen.
Yeah.
Or redshirt freshmen.
Yeah.
So, and then even Tariq Milton and Darren Wilson are just redshirt sophomores.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're, you know, old men by any stretch of the imagination.
Well, compared to the rest of the receiver group, they kind of are.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But then you bring in, I mean, you're going to bring in Darian Porter and, you know, yeah, Ezariah Anderson, some more guys I think will have an opportunity to make an impact down the road.
Yeah.
That's a good spot for Iowa State, I think.
It is.
And it was after being a huge question mark going into the summer.
And receiver is one of those positions, too, where I do think you benefit from 2 or 3 years of waiting in the wings and watching.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I feel like if Allen had been able to wait maybe a year,
mm-hmm,
we could have seen – I don't know that we ever saw the best of Allen. Allen was obviously very good.
Yeah.
But it was like – I feel like he could have benefited from having that 1 year where he didn't have to get thrown into the fire immediately.
Yeah, because, I mean, again, whenever a guy matures, that one extra year, you can get your body more prepared for the rigors of the Big 12. So.
And by no means am I saying that Allen was not.
No, he was still very good.
He's probably the second best wide receiver to ever play at Iowa State, and he was the best wide receiver to play at Iowa State until the last guy, you know.
Todd
Blythe's like the only other one that I think I'd put in that conversation.
Yeah, for sure.
It's those three. I think Akeem is a clear number one, though.
As far as ability goes, I would agree with that. Yeah.
I would put – all right, here we go. We're just going to do this now.
Okay.
Now that I've got this on my mind.
We've talked our way into
it. Yeah. I think that Akeem is head and shoulders above both of them. Because if he would have came back for his senior year, he would have broken all the records that he'd already set, and I think he would have shattered every other record that there was left out there.
Although, I mean, you did have to take into account that Todd Blythe played in an offense that was probably a little bit more run-oriented.
Yeah, but he also was, like, the only guy.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, if you're the only guy, you're going to grab all the defense.
See, and that's where you got to give him some credit, the fact that he was able to put up those numbers while being the only guy.
Yeah.
But Allen was the only guy at times, too.
Yeah, you know? I mean, but the last couple of years, he did have Akeem out there, too.
Yeah.
So... it's tough, though. I do agree from a physical and max ceiling standpoint, Butler, I believe, is the best.
Yeah.
Like
I said, if he would have came back for his senior year, assuming he didn't get hurt,
yeah,
he would have been an absolute monster.
I would argue you can make the case that Blythe made the most out of what he was given.
Yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah. I definitely would agree with that.
Mm-hmm. And Lazard was kind of more of a steady Eddie.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing that Lazard didn't really have on his side – like, Blythe had pretty consistent quarterback play where you had Brett Maier.
Yep.
And then even, I want to say a senior. Did he have Arnott his senior year?
I don't think so. I think he went out with Maier, I want to believe.
Well, yeah, but Maier got beat out by Arnott, I thought, when Arnott was a freshman.
I can't remember that. He might have.
I think that's how it happened. Because I don't think Brett Maier was a starting quarterback.
When his season ended.
But when his senior year ended.
But yeah, man, Lazard went through like, what, 4 or 5 different quarterbacks?
Do you remember who threw Allen Lazard his first touchdown pass?
Yes, Jarvis West.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a Cyclone trivia for you there.
Yeah.
You thought you were going to get me.
No, I figured you'd probably know.
Yeah.
But that's what's crazy is, I mean, he caught touchdown passes from so many different people.
Yeah.
Jarvis West, Sam Richardson.
Yeah.
Grant Rohatch. Joel.
Yep.
Jacob Park.
Yeah.
Kyle Kemp.
Yep.
Did he ever catch one from Zeb?
That's a good question. He might have.
Yeah, I don't remember. At least 6. We already counted 6.
Yeah. And there might have been another receiver or halfback pass in there at some point, too.
Yeah, and 2 of them didn't even play wide receiver or play quarterback for their entire careers.
Did Josh Lenz ever throw one to Lazard?
No, they didn't. I don't think that their careers matched up.
Really?
I thought Lenz was a time.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, Lenz is a couple years
older. It might have been the transition year that they just missed out. But
yeah, because Allen's freshman year, his first game was that game against North Dakota State.
Mm.
When Bundridge blew out his knee on the first play of the game.
Oh, yeah. Lovely. Lovely memories.
Coming off like one of the best seasons an Iowa State receiver ever had.
Yeah. The hype for Bundridge there was through the roof for a while.
Well, it's crazy. There's those couple of years, like in the fall, we'd talk about Iowa State's receivers. It's like, man, these guys are pretty legit.
Darius Money Reynolds.
Yeah, Darius Money Reynolds and Allen and Quentin Bundridge.
Darius Darks.
Yeah, I don't think he quite was at that same time. He was there Allen's freshman year. Dondre Daly.
Yeah.
Who else?
Because it wasn't the hype around Dondre Daly.
Trevor Ryan.
Like Dondre Daly was 6'3", and that was like a huge deal back then.
Yeah. But it was just like, you look at that group of guys, and they were really top heavy, where you had Bundridge and Allen, and really Bundridge didn't do that much after he got hurt, though, either. Mm-hmm. He was playing professional for a while, but he just wasn't the same guy at Iowa State that last year.
I think it took a little bit off a step, that knee injury.
Yeah. But no, I mean, it was really just Allen there. It was like you looked at it on paper and you're like, man, they've got a lot of guys with a lot of production coming back. And then they just really did not really do very much.
No, they kind of just did the force feed Lazard.
I mean, that last Rhodes team could not throw the football at all.
No.
Hardly. It was either throw the ball to Allen or not throw it at all.
They couldn't do much of anything, to be honest.
Hey, Mike Warren ran for a freshman record.
You're not wrong.
They just couldn't pass block to save their lives. They could really do something, opening up some holes for the rushing game.
And it's basically kind of been the opposite the last few years, which is strange.
Hey, man, I maintain that that group with Wendell Tyese, Pat Scoggins, Patrick Scoggins, Jameson Locke, Jake Campos, and who was the right tackle?
Well, Nick Fett was out there at one point, too.
Yeah, he was like later in the year, though, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying, those, like, that group of guys, they were, like, had probably the best run-blocking offensive line that Iowa State has had in the last five years.
You know, just get out there and bull rush them and pave the way on the ground. That's all you got to do, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. You look at this, but okay, what I was trying to say, you look at the receiving corps now, and it's just, there's so much more talent than there even was when these receivers are actually pretty good.
Yeah. And I think the difference too, I shouldn't say that. I was going to say that there's a lot more talent spreader across a bunch of different heights nowadays.
Yeah.
Cause you have those smaller guys like Deshaunte Jones and Tariq Milton who are a little bit shorter, maybe under 6 foot even. And you got the tall guys, coming back too. So.
Yeah. Man, Jarvis was really good. He would have been good in this offense.
He was so fun to watch because you thought that every time he caught a screen pass, he could, like, turn it upfield and just go.
Yeah.
He could stop on a dime and, like, turn. And
his big problem really was that he was, like, 5'7".
Yeah. It was always so funny, though, because if you got, like, again, like, Lazard out there blocking for Jarvis West.
Yeah.
Like, you could hide Jarvis West completely behind Allen Lazard.
Right. Yeah. But, no, it's just – like, they were so top-heavy, and now these last couple years where you've got the guys, like, where it's like you've got two guys at the top who are really good, but then even the guys after them were all pretty good, where you could throw a lot more bodies out there and know that they weren't just going to be, like, a waste of space.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's what helped make Hakeem and Allen have the, you know, last seasons that they had.
Indeed. And I would say a more modern offensive approach, too.
Yeah, for sure. All right, but Darren Wilson, I mean, he's a guy who chose Iowa State over West Virginia. I think Nebraska was in there a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm.
From all intents and purposes, or from all intent, like, from everything I've heard, dude can really burn. He can really run.
I think I went to his recruiting profile, and I didn't see any videos attached. I was looking for to see if I could find highlights. Do they exist, or are they?
I think he's on Huddle.
Okay.
I'd have to look more, though.
Gotcha. I'd be curious to check those out.
But that's what I've heard, is just he can really run.
Well, so. If you got size and speed, then those are two big check marks in your favor.
Well, I mean, he's about the same size as the Michael Pettway.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think Pettway quite is that same
no
burner type. But now you get a guy like Wilson, who if he can be that just pure speed on the edge.
Yeah.
That's another thing that you were kind of missing, and it just helps shore up that position.
Yep, exactly. If you wanted a tall guy who could also burn, then that's what you got out of this guy.
Yeah. That's what Darian Porter's going to be too. And he's 2 inches taller.
Yeah, man. Didn't he set the all-time record in the 400 or something like that?
Yeah, he was the first guy to ever run sub 47 400.
Yeah. And what? Obviously you can't run 400 meters on a football field, but
Did you run track?
No. Uh-oh. I ran cross country. I was a long distance guy.
Oh, okay.
I know it doesn't look like it anymore, but
I was going to say I think the fastest 400 I ever ran was like a 55 in a relay.
Yeah.
And then
you're a big dude though. You can stride out. I bet you're pretty fast.
Yeah, I was okay.
Not track fast though.
No, I was good at I was good at the hurdles. School record holder in the hurdles. Toot my own horn for a second.
But, nice. In high school or junior high?
Yeah, in high school.
All right.
But it was like in the 400. It's a lot of that's like mentality.
Yeah.
You have to like have the right mentality to do it.
Yeah.
And I had the mentality of every time I had to run the 400, man, I really don't want to do this.
Yeah, that would not help your case.
Where if I was running on the 4x4, I'm standing there about to get the baton, and I'm just thinking, man, I hate my life right now.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm about to have to run a 400.
It's like to do a 400 row, you basically do have to sprint the entire time. But it's a little bit too long to where it's comfortable to sprint that entire time.
Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. Like, if you're going to do it, you have to have the mentality of like, I'm going to sprint this dead out the entire way.
Exactly.
And if you have that and you have the size, like what Darian Porter has, that's how he can be. I mean, he goes from being, you know, pretty good to being like elite at that event.
As long as he can catch the ball, he's going to be pretty good, I would imagine.
For sure. All right. Last thing that we have to note here, one of the casinos in Vegas, or one of like the sports book groups, released some early college football lines for 2019, including for the Cy-Hawk game.
Yep.
And as of right now, Iowa State is favored in the Cy-Hawk game for the first time since 2000.
Dun, dun, dun. And now I'm honestly not too surprised about it.
I'm not surprised either.
I think, again, if both teams were on a neutral field, it'd probably be basically a pick 'em. And I think Jack Trice kind of gives them the two-point edge.
Well, yeah, when I saw it was 2 points, I looked at that and I was like, man, that makes me think that Vegas would have it either as Iowa by one, or it would have them as a straight up pick if it was on a neutral field.
Exactly. So
played at Drake Stadium.
Yeah. So we did ask Kirk Holland about the record Iowa State had when they were favored in the Cy-Hawk game, and he said it was approximately 4-2, I believe.
Yeah, but he didn't have the line for 1982.
Yeah. So. Might not be completely accurate, but we think it is.
Yeah, that's pretty close. Like, that's got to be.
So winning
record.
Which
is crazy. It's crazy that he only has 6 years in
his
in his log. Which, if there's anybody that you're going to ask, it's going to be Kirk.
Yep.
And what years did he say that he had? He told us which years he had specifically.
Yep.
2000, 1999, 81, 79, 78, and 77.
Yep.
And 77 was the first one, right?
Well, it must have been if he doesn't go back any further. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what? So when would the losses have been? It wasn't 98 or 2000, obviously.
It would have had to have been.
I'm pulling up the all-time series.
Okay.
Man, it's still crazy to think that, like, they've only been favored six times in all the years they've been playing this game.
In the last 40 years.
Yeah. 77 was a 12-10 loss.
Okay. So 78?
78 was a 31-0 win.
Okay. 79?
Pure domination. Jeez, come on.
Lovely.
78 Hawks. what was the other one?
79.
79 was a 30-14 loss. So there's your two losses.
Yep. 77 and 79.
Yeah. And then he said 81.
So
81, it was 23-12 win. They did win in 80, 10-7, but that probably was a close line or something.
So you're going to
82, they won 19-7.
For your preview article you write this fall, you're going to basically have to say, since 1981, Iowa State has never lost to Iowa when favored. There you go.
I like that.
That's
like
a good
that.
Stat for you. That's a tweet right there.
Yeah, it is. Dude, that's crazy, though, that they went. So it's like after they win in 82, they won three straight from 80-82. And then that's the beginning of the, whatever it is, 15-year losing streak.
We don't talk about that here.
Yeah, no. So they're obviously not favored in any of those years.
No.
And then they're only favored two more times. Like the fact that they weren't even favored in, you know, 2001 at home.
Well, that was the Brad Banks year, right?
I thought that was 02.
Or no, that was 02.
That was 02.
Yep.
But that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They'd won three straight. And then even in 2001, I guess you're playing your whatever, like. Oh, no, that was different because that was when the game was all the way at the end of the season.
Because of
9/11.
9/11, yep.
Yeah. But, I mean, that would have been the first year with Seneca and everything.
Mm-hmm.
I would be interested to know how that – I mean, it's not like they were bad that year. Went 7-5. So, like, they were 6-4 going into that game. I don't know.
I don't know either.
That's crazy.
Just a little bit too early for us youngins.
Yeah. But no, regardless, they're the favorites as of right now. And I don't imagine that line will move that drastically towards Iowa to where they won't be the favorites when they kick off on September 14th.
I mean, the most I can see it moving is it turn into a straight pick 'em.
Well, and it was interesting too because there was a couple other of those top games from that day. That, you know, we've talked about that day a lot with the potential for College Game Day.
Yep.
And what were some of those other games? It was like Clemson plays Syracuse. I think Oklahoma plays UCLA. There was another one. But they were all like double-digit games. Penn State and Pitt, I think.
Okay.
And that one was a double-digit line.
So they're not expected to be good games.
Right. And I looked at that and I was like, dang, okay. Well, if this is how Vegas has the line, I wouldn't think that Game Day is going to be that thrilled to go to a
blowout.
Yeah, a game where Syracuse is a 17-point dog to Clemson.
Yeah, exactly. It wouldn't be worth it because the fun would be sucked out of it for Syracuse to some degree, I would think. I mean, they'll still get pumped up.
Well, you'll get pumped up, but it's basically like everybody's there pumped up thinking, man, we're really psyched and it's awesome that you guys are here, but we're about to get
murdered.
Get stomped by Clemson tonight.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, then again, if game day had come for the Oklahoma State game in 2011, we would have been thinking the same thing.
That's true. Still, no. I don't know. I think Clemson's on a different level than what Oklahoma State was in 2011.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Like, at this point,
Their run of dominance has been much better than Oklahoma State's was.
Well, and it's not like Oklahoma State was just a pure juggernaut.
No.
At that point
they had a very good offense, but it wasn't like their defense was spectacular, and again it was just more of a one year
right,
like they're really good this year.
The defense was like good enough.
Yeah,
you know, I mean it was solid, but it was just that offense was really, really good.
Yep.
And the defense was just fine. And then, but where you look at Clemson, it's like the offense is going to be ridiculous.
Trevor Lawrence,
Travis Etienne.
Yep.
I don't think you even need to name anybody else. And then
their defense
program that has pumped out one of the best defenses in the country every year.
As I said.
For like the past 5 years. And has played in the last, what, four straight or three of the last four national championship games?
Yeah, I think so. And they're probably – I mean, has it been announced yet? Are they the favorites to win next year? Or is Alabama? It's got to be one of those two teams.
I mean, yeah, it's one of them.
But anywho, you know.
but that's what I'm saying. So then if they came to – like if you come to Ames for that game – then you know that it's
going to be a close game.
It's going to be a good game.
Yeah.
It's going to be – everybody's going to be fired up. There's going to be a ton of people there.
Yep.
But that's the one thing where – like you've heard all these people talk about, okay, if we're going to do game day and all this stuff, and then like people be mad about it being on the week of the Iowa game. I thought about this. If they wanted to do it where it's like we're really going to showcase Iowa State and we're going to try and keep the Iowa people out of it, that's why you got to have it at the Campanile. You can't have it at the stadium.
Yeah.
Have it on campus. Like, make the Iowa people have to go
on campus.
Onto campus and, yeah, like, go up there and find it. And, well, I mean, it's not that hard to find the Campanile, but you know what I'm saying, where it's just,
yeah,
make it much more out of the way.
Agreed.
To where the students have, or it's easier for students to get there. And it's like, if you really want to go to game day, you can go. But other than that, like, you're making a decision. Like, I'm going to game day. Not like you just show up at the stadium and you're there,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Yeah, because basically on Cy-Hawk game day at Jack Trice, I mean, all those Hawk fans are still in the tailgate lots.
Yeah,
us,
so. And they're there. There's a lot of them there, but they're there all day.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not like they're all just wandering around Ames, showing up at,
Random,
the, at
yeah,
the Memorial Union, like chilling out in front of the Campanile.
Yeah.
Your
idea? Your grand idea?
Yeah. That's how I think that it would make sense to do
Probably.
Game day at
You know, I wonder if game day gets to decide where they are on campus, or if it's a campus Iowa State decision.
I would imagine that there's probably a combination of both.
I wonder if Iowa State suggests some locations, and then game day makes the final decision.
Yeah, but that's like one of the few places where you could really conceivably see there being enough space for all of their for everything. Mm-hmm. You know, because they want the crowd behind the set.
Yeah.
So it's like have the set up on Central Campus right in between Curtis and Beardshear, yep, with the campanile in the back and everybody out in front of the campanile. Like, yep, that would just be...
It would be perfect. I agree that the Central Campus area would work fantastic. And I think the other one that people have generally agreed on is they could set up near Ryman Gardens.
Yeah.
But I would definitely, like you have suggested, prefer Central Campus.
That would just be big time, dude. Yep. That would look so cool.
I'm still, it's going to happen within the next 3 years. I can almost guarantee that game day will come to Iowa State. The question is when.
Man, I just want to know who they would get as a guest picker. Like, that's all I want to know now.
Yeah. I mean, if you go for a famous Iowan, then you could do Jason Momoa. That would be my thought.
Yeah. That's the thing that sucks about.
Well, there's a lot of famous Iowa State people that Iowa State fans love.
Yeah.
But they're not necessarily nationally relevant. And you can't, like, the obvious pick would have been while he was at Chicago, you could have went with Fred Hoiberg.
I was just going to say, there was one, like, very clear option that is obviously probably not going to come through at this point.
He will not be getting the invite.
Right. And it's like, I just don't know that George is probably famous enough.
He's not.
To do that.
Only people with a Big 12 footprint will remember who George Niang is.
Yeah. Seneca probably isn't famous enough.
No. He's probably more famous on a national landscape than George is, though, I would say.
That's fair.
I'm trying to think. Who else? I mean, Clutchy Osemele, I guess. You could bring him back.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, he's a famous football player. I mean, offensive line isn't that well-known, but at the same time, he's playing in the NFL at a high level.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that there would be, but the only thing about it, if you have it on Central Campus, is it has to be a night game probably at that point.
Yeah,
like there's no way that they're gonna have it on Central Campus and then everybody can't get to the game that starts at 11.
Very true,
especially with as bad as traffic gets on game days.
Yep.
All right, do we have any mailbag questions?
We don't. I basically used all the mailbag questions this week in my mailbag, so
did you not get very many questions?
Well, no, I got a pretty good amount, but I just used them all. People ask good questions this week. One guy did ask me, though, how my home renovation is going. Scotty P, shout out to you. It's going well. We're basically almost done painting, finishing up trim.
So. Have you guys moved in yet?
Nope. We are going to have to move in no later than the end of June, so about a month
up.
Away.
Yeah, coming up. But you like hope to be in there before then?
Yeah, the plan is probably hopefully to get everything moved over mid June. Yep.
Cool. We'll have to do like an on location episode of Stands and Fits.
That'd be good.
Do you have like a back deck or something?
We have a portion that you could call the back deck. It's mainly just a concrete slab.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. It would work.
There we go. All right. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Stands and Fits, presented by the Professional MBA Program at the Ivy College of Business from the Carl Chevrolet Studios on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network.
Hey, guys. It's Chris interrupting this podcast because, you know, everybody wants to know that I get it asked all the time. How can we help Cyclone Fanatic? Well, you help Cyclone Fanatic by you support our advertisers. And everybody needs to be aware of eye care. I wasn't for a long time, and I went to Ames Eye Care, and they really helped me out. It's changed my life. I don't have headaches the way that I did. You've heard me talk about this. They're also in Des Moines at Des Moines Eye Care, and you need to think about this with your family. Get the kids checked out. Encourage the wife. Anything. Personalized eye care, designer eyewear. I've got these sweet Maui Jim glasses that I use at work all the time. People think they look awesome. They meet your whole family's vision needs at Ames and Des Moines Eye Care. Check them out today and support Cyclone Fanatic.
Welcome back to Stands and Fits. Time for Hot and Not.
It is. I will go first this week. My hot is Iowa native Nick Nurse, who has started. He started his career as a graduate assistant at UNI in 1989. And this kind of goes in. The reason I picked him is I saw a story written by Tommy Birch in the Des Moines Register. Very good. Basically, yeah, he started as an assistant at UNI in 1989, had to cold call Grand University to get a job after he had gone overseas to coach, and now, basically almost 30 years later, is head coach of the Toronto Raptors in the NBA Finals. and it's pretty impressive. He, in the span of 30 years coaching, has had 15 different coaching jobs.
And he basically started the Iowa Energy.
Yeah. And he was like the 2011 D-League Coach of the Year.
Yeah.
I believe so.
Yeah, I'm surprised that's not a bigger story. Not more buzz about that.
Yeah.
Carroll, Iowa native.
Yeah.
I wonder how hyped everybody is in Carroll for Nick Nurse right now.
I wonder how many people, I don't know. Like, I mean, you say Iowa native, but at the same time, he's been all over for the last 30 years, you know?
Yeah. I think he won a state championship at Kemper Catholic in Carroll.
I believe that's correct, yep. So, good for Nick Nurse representing Iowa a little bit. Do you foresee any way that the Raptors make this a series?
Absolutely. Well, a series? I mean, it might go five. Maybe it'll go six.
Do you foresee them winning a game, Jared?
Yeah, I think they'll win one. Okay. They'll win one in Toronto.
Okay.
Drake will just really get under the skin of somebody.
So you think it'll be like a game three or a game four probably then?
Yeah, I'd say game three.
Okay.
Golden State will go to Toronto up 2-0.
And
Toronto
like-
will win two – like. Win game three to go to 2-1, all the Raptors fans will be going nuts out in Jurassic Park. And then, like, they'll come out and the Warriors will squeak one out in game four, just barely kind of skate by. And then they'll close it out in game five.
Gotcha.
That's how I foresee it happening.
So if the Raptors pulled the unthinkable and did win the NBA Finals, how would you react, number one? And
how would I react?
Would you support Drake being a complete hothead about, you know, his team winning the NBA Finals?
Drake has already just been absolutely ridiculous for the last, like, 2 weeks, the way that he has been acting on the sidelines.
He acts like
absolutely remarkable.
His demeanor has been like he's a part of the team.
Man, I feel like Toronto has so few things to, like, really hang its hat on that they basically just have made Drake part of the team.
Probably.
You know?
Yeah.
But, like, there's the video of him waving at Giannis when he fouled out in whatever that was, I think, game four.
Yeah.
There was him massaging Nick Nurse's shoulders.
Yep.
It's just crazy to think of a guy from Carroll, Iowa being
massaged by Drake.
Yeah, being, like, having his shoulders massaged by
Arguably
Drake.
Arguably the most famous rapper right now.
I don't know that there's a more just, like, the fact that Drake is one of the most interesting parts of the Toronto Raptors just tells you everything you need to know about the Raptors.
Yeah. Basically, all I know currently about the Raptors is Kawhi Leonard, Nick Nurse, and Drake.
Yeah, and Kyle Lowry finally made the finals.
I mean, yeah, that's about it.
See, that's what – I look at the Raptors, and I'm like, okay, what's interesting about the Raptors? It's like, okay, will Kawhi go back? You know, is he going to re-sign with the Raptors? I would say if they won the finals, then at that point, yeah, you could probably – entertain the idea of him coming back.
Yep.
Otherwise, I'm going to lean probably not. Kyle Lowry finally helping. You're like finally getting over the hump and going to the finals after running into LeBron so many times.
Yep.
And then that's like really it. What kind of crazy thing is Drake going to do?
Yeah.
Did you see that? I'm going to just make this my not because I don't have one right now. Did you see who is out there like tooting the horn for the Warriors?
No.
Smash Mouth.
Smash Mouth?
Yeah, they were tweeting at Drake last week.
Really?
About how he needed to sit his ass down.
Their Twitter account is usually pretty feisty,
yeah.
If I remember right. They get involved in a lot of stuff.
Especially about Oakland sports for some reason.
Really?
Yeah, they just are really – they're really carrying the flag for Oakland sports.
Are they from the Bay Area? Is that what
yeah, it's going on? Okay. I assume so.
I gotcha.
They really like the A's too, I think. Like they're really big on the A's.
Makes sense.
I wonder if the Warriors would – the Warriors definitely don't – like pump up Smash Mouth as much as
no.
What? I don't think they have any like celebrity fans like that.
I don't think so either. You know, speaking of the A's, have you seen the Lonely Island thing on Netflix?
I haven't. I heard about it, but
it's worth a watch.
Is it
pretty hilarious?
Is it?
Okay. Well, I will admit that if you kind of know a little bit of history about the A's, just when they had the Bash Bros,
yeah,
it makes it a little bit more funny in my opinion. But yeah, it's pretty funny.
It's just weird to think of those two guys like portraying Mark McGwire and Jose Canseco.
It's as weird as you think, but it's funny.
I also know enough about the Lonely Island to just know, that it was probably really weird. Just
it's a really weird
thing.
But if you make it through the whole thing, the final song they do is pretty good.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is it all like original music? They've just.
Oh yeah.
Oh wow.
I would say it's probably six or seven original songs. It's packed into
about the Bash Brothers.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I might have to check that out. I keep seeing it on Netflix, and I'm just like, man, I don't know about this.
Yeah, again, it's only a half hour long, so it's not like it's going to take up your entire night.
Okay.
So
I'll think about it.
All right.
I'll put some thought into it. My hot this week, I don't know if you've seen this video.
I have.
Going around on the internet. Is from America's Got Talent. It's of a young man named Cody Lee. Cody is blind and is autistic.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes out escorted by his mom on stage, and Gabrielle Union is talking to him and telling him how he's going to sing a song. Dude, this guy brings the house down.
Yeah.
And it's like the most unexpected thing ever.
It is.
Because when he's just talking to them, it's like he has a really hard time being able to get his words out. But then the second he sits down at the piano, he just belts it out. And I was blown away, dude. I was like, oh my God, that is phenomenal.
Like after every question they ask him, it's like a 3 or 4 second delay until he answers back.
Right.
Because, you can tell he's having a little bit of a hard time. But yeah, if you just listen to his music, like him singing, it sounds like just a fantastic performer. And that's what he is.
Right. Yeah. If you just heard a recording, you would never know that he's
blind and autistic.
Blind and autistic. Yeah. And it is, if you have not seen that video yet, you absolutely need to go and watch it.
Yeah,
it is well worth it.
Agreed.
It's like an 8-minute video, and it's well worth watching the 8 minutes.
Yep.
So that's my hot this week.
Good hot. All right, my not this week: creativity of school namers in Waukee. I don't know if you saw this.
I did. I dove deep into this.
Basically, the news was announced this morning that Waukee is splitting into two districts.
That's been long known. Yeah.
But they finally came up with a name for their second high school, and this high school will be named Waukee Northwest High School. Wow. Very impressive, Waukee. Very original and creative.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone will be shocked to know the Facebook commenters are not impressed with Waukee's ability to name a school. They are pissed.
Dude, I'm with the Facebook commenters on this one.
Oh, my goodness, dude. And it's crazy because they I guess they put out some sort of survey.
Oh, did they?
Asking for name possibilities. And this one wasn't even on the survey.
Oh, really?
And they just like came up with it out of nowhere.
Dude.
So it's, here's the first comment. Waukee, where we strive to be devoid of creativity and originality. Here's a second one. Waiting for the cease and desist letter from Northwestern in 3, 2, 1. So disappointed. Unsurprising. Even confusing as it is closer to the center of Waukee. Yes, I read the email explaining it. This name is a missed opportunity. It's like people are pissed that they didn't even look at Northwest wasn't even an option on the survey. Check your email from the school district I had hoped we would have done better. I admit I like Waukee West. Northwest is okay. Out of curiosity, would like the insight of how we got to Waukee Northwest, given Northwest wasn't even an option on the list. Everybody's fired up, dude.
This reeks of a higher up who was dead set on something and they wanted to make it their thing, and they just pushed everything else opinion-wise aside.
Respect to Courtney, who comes in and says, why does the name matter? We will support our kids no matter the name, mascot, or colors. All I care about is a quality education from quality professional teachers who love our kids like we do.
Suck up.
So, you know, props to Courtney for being the one to raise above the fray.
Dude, Courtney wants her kid to get into some advanced placement class, and that's
right.
What her Facebook post is about there.
Yeah, I mean, it was Waukee West sounds good. I mean, that's kind of boring, but Northwest just sounds weird. That's just like a really – how do you even – like, you can't come up with chance for go – like, I don't know. That's a horrible name.
Like, just a direction?
Yeah.
That's so boring.
Well, it's okay. Yeah, I mean, I get the direction, like, but, like, why did Ankeny come up with Ankeny Centennial? You know,
that's a good question. I do not know the answer to that.
But that's a good name.
It is. Centennial just sounds, I don't know, regal in a way.
Something. And when you hear Centennial, there's no other Centennial in Iowa.
Yep.
So you know Centennial.
Yep.
You know, and Northwest. I mean, I don't think there is another Northwest.
No.
In Iowa, but still, you're gonna have to say Waukee Northwest every time.
Every single time.
That's the only way that you're gonna know who that is.
Drop the ball on that one, man.
They might as well just kept it one school. They should see if they can. And is the other one going to stay just Waukee High?
Yeah, I believe so.
Oh, my goodness. These guys are idiots.
I know.
This is like if Ankeny had, when they made Centennial, they'd made it Ankeny North and then just Ankeny High School.
Yeah. It's just so boring.
Why don't they learn from the people in Ankeny?
The people in Ankeny are leading the way.
That's right.
We both live in Ankeny. We're Ankeny residents.
Yeah.
We are pace setters.
I live like 2 miles away from Centennial High School.
Yep.
I am a Jaguar, basically.
Yeah. Yep. Go Jags.
Yeah, go Jags. Don't you live on the south side, though?
No, I live north of First Street.
Well, your house, isn't your house south of First Street, though?
Oh.
You're going to be a hawk. Man, where this ain't going to work anymore.
Is First Street the divider?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I am an Ankeny hawk.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I'm 2 blocks south of First Street now.
Oh, boy.
Big rivalry in the Carl Chevrolet studios.
Yeah, man. No kidding. What should their mascot be? The Waukee Northwest. Nothing sounds good with that.
Wait. Is Waukee the Warriors? Is that what they are?
Yeah.
So it's got to be something similar to Warriors just to keep on brand.
Not really. I mean, Jaguars and Hawks aren't the same.
No. I'm saying like Ankeny was good about their schools. They split. They made them sound different.
Oh, but yeah.
Waukee makes them sound the same, so they have to be similar to the Warriors. So the Waukee could be Waukee Northwest Trojans or something like that. Just another Warrior.
Northwest is so horrible. What? Y'all got to do this again. I hope that there's somebody listening at Waukee High Schools right now that will hear us and understand that we are the voice of the people right now. We are the voice of the Facebook commenters. We have a much larger audience than what those Facebook commenters do.
Yes.
And we agree with them. It's time for a redo.
A change.org petition will be put up very soon.
I can't even think of what a better name would be, though. I mean, I don't care about it enough to...
I mean, you could have picked anything.
For as much money as somewhere like Waukee has, I would think that they would be able to hire some sort of branding company to come in and do like, okay, this is what you're like, these would be some good options.
Yeah.
And then you put it out to the public and have them vote. And that's when like, this is a farce.
Yeah. Cause I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Waukee and Ankeny are the two, fastest growing towns in Iowa.
Well, yeah. I think when Bloom went to Waukee, it was a 2A school.
That would probably make sense.
Yeah. And I've heard before that Ankeny might have to split into a third school.
Yeah. Ankeny, man, there's new buildings in Ankeny coming up literally every day.
Right. Dude, there's so many elementary and middle schools here.
Yeah.
It blows my mind.
Yep.
Coming from a place where there's one school.
Same.
You just look around and it's like,
so
or you hear people talking about, oh, my kid goes to this elementary school. And you're like, man, there's more than one?
Yeah. It's like, wow. I mean, there's probably what, like at least 10 elementary schools in Ankeny, if not more?
I want to say Rob told me there was... Between, like, combined, there was, like, 12 elementary and middle school.
Yeah. That's crazy.
And that's ridiculous.
Yeah. Man, those kids, poor kids.
Dude, someone told me at one point that, like, in their third through fifth grades, at just one elementary school, there was, like, 500 kids or something like that.
Too many.
And I was just like, damn, that's more than my entire high school.
Yeah.
In 3 grades at one school.
Same. I think my graduating class was at 100, and I think that was on the big side for Albia.
Yeah, I graduated with 61 kids.
So even smaller. There you go.
Yeah.
Man.
There's not even that in, like, one grade in an entire school.
Yeah. See, like, for us who come from small towns, like, going to college is the first time that you go to a new school where you don't really know everyone there.
Yeah.
Like people in your grade you will not know. But for people who are in a town with multiple elementary schools, even going to a new middle school, like, you'll meet people for the first time.
Yeah.
Because you didn't go to the same elementary school.
This just blows my mind. And I still can't believe that Waukee did this. This is so horrible.
Shame on you, Waukee.
If you're going to split your school, you got to do it right.
Yeah.
You know? It's just like if you're going to consolidate, you really got to, like, you got to do that thing right. That's what I understand. Like, some of these towns, they'll combine the names and then they're just like a really long acronym. I'm like, man, y'all had to have a better, like, there has to be a better way to think of a name than this.
Yeah.
And I get that all the towns want to still have a school. And all, no, man, like, come on. You guys sound stupid. Like, AGWSR or whatever it is, like, Ackley something, something Steamboat Rock. No one knows who you are anyway. And you've just got some long acronym for your name.
Yeah.
And it's like, wait, someone says, oh, I went to AGWSR.
Oh.
I'm sorry, where?
Yeah.
Or OABCIG.
Yeah.
Do you know what OABCIG is?
No.
It's Ode Bolt, Arthur, Battle Creek, Ida Grove.
I could not.
Which is, I think, four different towns.
Yeah. Wouldn't have got that in a million years.
This is where Trevor Ryan is from. I only know that because we played them in football.
Oh, nice.
But there's so many of those where there's just these really long acronyms with a bunch of different, you know.
Yeah.
Come on, guys.
There's a lot we can change.
Do better.
There's a lot we change about the schools nowadays.
We can do better.
Yeah.
We can do better. All right. So that's your not. We're going to do a pick four. Chips. Favorite chips.
Yep. So we can blow through these pretty fast.
Yeah, I'm coming up off the top of my off the dome here today.
All right. Me, number four, Ruffles cheddar sour and cream. Just a good all-around chip.
Straight heat, dude.
It's good. Three for me, nacho cheese Doritos. I think
our lists are very much going to overlap here.
They might. And I was wondering if they would when I came up with this. Doritos, yeah, very versatile. I think if you bring chips to a barbecue, a lot of times Doritos are the standard.
Yeah, it's chip like for Doritos, original Lay's, and barbecue.
Agreed.
You can most everybody can agree on those.
Yep. Number two for me, Lay's sour cream and onion. I'm a big sour cream and onion fan.
I hate sour cream and onion. They smell so bad. Like you don't.
But they taste so good.
You don't bring sour cream and onion to the barbecue. They smell too awful.
Well, if you have a bunch of people who love sour cream and onion, then it's like you have to bring sour cream and onion stuff.
But not everybody's being like, hey, who likes sour cream and onion? No, you don't. Yeah, and it's like you don't just show up with sour cream and
onion.
But
like, I mean,
because you're running the risk that only a handful of people will really.
Yeah,
like
but I'm thinking more like a family setting. Like if you do a family barbecue, you'll know if they all like sour cream and onion. So
that's fair.
So anywho. All right, my number one, Cool Ranch Doritos. I have probably at least 10 times in my life eaten a full-size bag of Cool Ranch Doritos in the place of a dinner.
I was going to say, in one sitting?
Yeah.
I respect it.
Like in college, if I was ever needing like a quick meal and where I can just, you know, stuff things in my mouth, it was a bag of Cool Ranch Doritos.
I respect it.
Thank you.
I would probably go, like mine are really in no particular order. Ruffles sour cream and cheddar for sure. Those are just a staple,
and it's got to be the ones with ridges. It adds something. I don't know what it is, but it adds something.
Right. The dill pickle Lay's, huge fan of those.
I'm not sure I've ever had dill pickle Lay's.
Dude, I like them a lot.
Yeah. I like pickles.
It's like my go-to chip.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to get some sometime.
Doritos would be there too.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would do if I like. I'm really having a hard time choosing between original Lay's and Cheetos.
Oh yeah.
And it comes down to, are Cheetos a chip?
In my opinion,
they sit in the chip aisle. I feel like they got
to
be chips.
I mean, because I wouldn't call them crackers. They're definitely closer to chips than they are crackers.
Right.
Although
definitely not crackers. That's really like who would ever even consider them to be in that category?
Yeah.
An idiot.
An idiot. But I'm just trying to think. If you categorize them, it probably would have to be chips.
They're absolutely chips. I'm making the distinction right now.
What do you categorize Chex Mix or Gardetto's in? Are they chips?
Those are just like a snack.
Snack mix?
Yeah.
Okay. But you can't really call Cheetos a snack mix.
Because they're not a mix. They're just
the same thing.
They're definitely chips. Yeah.
So what about Cheez-Its? Are they crackers?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. There's a clear distinction between chips and
here's
crackers.
Here's another thing. Do you have to do crunchy Cheetos or do you do the Puffs?
I can do either one. I prefer the crunchy, but I can do the Puffs too.
Most of the time, or at least growing up, and I'm not sure I've had them for a while, but I prefer the Puffs. I don't know why. I think you just get more cheese as opposed to more cracker or chip.
Yeah. I feel like you can really, like if you get the Puffs, you can almost put them in your mouth and they just melt, you know?
Yeah, they do.
Really just melt in your mouth and it's just delicious.
Plus, and I think like when you...
Do you remember the twists? The Cheeto twists?
Uh-uh.
They were like Puffs that they were just like in a spiral.
Oh, yeah. I do remember those.
They were in a spiral. Those things were fire.
Dude, those were better than the Puffs, I thought.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was so much more cheese on those.
It was like a good blend between the crunchy and the Puff. It was a good happy medium.
Yeah.
Man, where'd those go?
I want some of those now.
Yeah, I really want some of those too.
I might have to see if I can find some.
They're probably going for like $400 a bag on eBay nowadays.
It's like they're just from like 2002.
Yeah. But hey,
there's only 50 bags left on the earth.
If you need your fix, man, you gotta buy it.
You just sit them on a shelf and someone opens them up randomly and you're just like, oh my god, what have you done?
Yeah, just smells like straight butt crack.
they're so stale. Yeah. What have you done? You opened my bag of Cheeto Twists.
Yeah. It was only there for the memories, just to bring back the good memories. You shouldn't have opened them.
All right. I got to go play a basketball game, so I got to get out of here.
All right.
All right. Talk to you guys again next week. Peace.